T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission. Time to wake up. It's 5, and we're live.
Oh, is this thing on? I don't care. I want him to hear.
This is the pregame show, your early morning shot of sports on 95.7 The Game.
Come on!
Good morning to all of you beautiful people out there in the Bay Area. Hope you are enjoying your ride to work right now after just being done with a long July 4th weekend, or if you're just getting done celebrating your July 4th weekend and you're on your way home. Good morning. It is Stephen Langford here on the pregame show. Today's going to be a little bit of a grab bag. We got a lot to talk about. We got some players speaking out from Major League Baseball saying that they may or may not opt out of the start of the season. Not sure which one's going to happen. Buster Posey, one of those guys who came out talking, but there was one particular player who is the best player that I've seen in a very, very long time, if not ever. And if he says something like this, that's going to carry some weight. So we'll get to that a little later on in the show. We might have a second NBA bubble, and it would be including the Golden State Warriors. We'll get to that. The NHL could return. But there are a couple of things that happened over the weekend that I want to start off with. Oh, and by the way, this week, it's big one here on 95.7 The Game, but we are doing our top 10 Bay Area athletes list, where each host is going to give their specific top 10, and we're going to debate it. And it's going to be a lot of fun. Each host is going to have their own little time slot. They're going to be giving them out. This morning at 8 o'clock, Joe Fortenbaugh is going to be giving out his top 10. So I wanted to do something a little different. And, I when the boss brought this up, I was like, hey, you know, can I maybe make a top 10? Can I do something like that? And you know, he thought about it, and he's just like, yeah, you can go ahead and do that. And I said, cool. All right, I'll think about doing that. And a week's gone by now, and I haven't been given a specific time slot to give out my top 10. So I don't think I'm on the official list. So what I wanted to do this entire week, and this is going to be at 5:50 every day, except for coming up on Friday, because we're going to have our pregame show, Premier Plays of the Week, which happens every Friday. But at 5:50 every day this week, I'm going to be doing my not top 10 list. My not top 10. And today's at 5:50, we're going to be doing the not top 10 contracts in Bay Area history. So I'm going to be doing my own, putting my own little spin on the top 10 list, but that's what I'm planning on doing. So 5:50 coming up today, I got my list of non-top 10 contracts in Bay Area history. And some of them, when you look through it, whew, especially being a guy who's grown up a Raider fan and seeing some of these contracts that they gave out to these Raider players. Hint, Javon Walker is very high on this list. But good morning, everyone, and very happy to have you. And of course, 888-957-9570 is the Chill Not a Body text line. That's also the phone number as well. One thing that I just wanted to talk about in this first segment were the two competitions that happened over the weekend. And something that I don't think has gotten nearly as much attention, it hasn't gotten as much, it hasn't been talked about on ESPN. There's not as much coverage for it as I expected there to be. And, you know, I was hoping they would go crazy with it, but I guess not. Formula One, they debuted their season this weekend, and they didn't even start with the first, whatever it was, 7 or 8 races. They just went straight to Austria. They're going to be having another one in Austria next weekend. But Formula One took place over the weekend, and I wanted to mention it because on Netflix, I watched this show, Formula One Drive to Survive. And it's really, it's essentially what All or Nothing is on Amazon Prime for football. What is essentially what Drive to Survive is, they follow around Formula One for an entire season, have interviews with the players. They're talking heads, or with the drivers, excuse me. They're the talking heads in the documentary, and they show the communication, the interaction, all that stuff that you don't really watch during the regular sport. So when I watch this series, I'm like, I got to watch it. I got to watch Formula One because it's that intriguing. And I watched my first race for the first time this weekend, and it was the Austrian Grand Prix. It was terrific. It was everything you could have hoped for. But the funny thing is about Drive to Survive is, you know how when we play highlights or we watch highlights, we're only seeing a fair few plays from the game. We're not seeing the entirety of it. Right? Well, that's kind of how it is in Drive to Survive. And the majority of the highlights that they show are not really good things happening for every driver, but they're bad things happening for every driver. Engine failure, tire problems, another driver crashes into them, that sort of stuff. And it makes it seem like when you're watching it, it makes it seem like there's 10, 15 of these failures a race. Not true. And I watched this race, and there were 7 different retirements in this race. And then at the top, Lewis Hamilton, the most famous Formula One car driver in the world, he ended up crashing into a guy who was trying to pass him, and you're supposed to give him a car's length on the corner, and he didn't do that. He turned into him, and he got a 5-second penalty. So things switched up immensely at the top of the leaderboard. But all the big ones, Max Verstappen, Daniel Ricciardo, Kevin Magnussen was one of the first ones to go out too. A lot were gone from this race. And I was surprised. I was shocked. And I thoroughly enjoyed watching it though. And I just wanted to give my little Formula One recommendation out there because I think that it's a terrific sport. And anyone who hasn't watched it before, you should watch Drive to Survive first. That way you get to know the drivers and their teams a little bit. Then you understand it's more than just what's going on in the race. It's, you know, it's teammates clashing. The teammates aren't necessarily, they don't necessarily like each other on each team. There's 2 per team, and the teammates, they're kind of rivals, so to speak, depending on which team you're talking about. But there's that. There's, you know, whether this driver is going to thrive for that driver coming up. Sebastian Vettel, he's been a longtime driver for Ferrari. He crashed into a guy who's going to take over for him at Ferrari next season. So there's stuff there. It was just very enjoyable to watch. I don't know. Feel free to chime in. 888-957-9570 on the Chill and Auto Body text line if you watched, if you managed to make it through your July 4th with watching some sports. There was another sport that happened over the weekend, though, and I want to go to Peter King's Twitter here because this is something that caught my eye yesterday. And he took a lot of backlash on Twitter for these comments. And he quote tweeted a guy named Jerry Sullivan and said, "The media could do the culture a favor and ignore the sickening spectacle of competitive eating. It's revolting." And Peter King, longtime NFL insider, he joins the station all the time. And he quoted it and said what he said. Now, there was another guy who responded saying, "You know, you have a remote and don't have to watch." He said, "Never have, never will. Not the point." This is Peter King. "The fact is, ESPN celebrates the birthday of our country by airing a gluttonous, vomitous, and grotesque event. Eating is not a sport. Competitive eating is a sin. It's a sin to eat and to watch people eat on TV, especially during July 4th. Because it's our birthday, it's a real big deal. But look, Joey Chestnut ended up consuming 75 hot dogs in 10 minutes. And with all the world records that he holds, that still keeps him up there at 46 in total, which is a world record for the for holding the most amount of world records. But for having 75 in 10 minutes and to not put Joey Chestnut in your top 10 list of Bay Area athletes, as our hosts are going to be doing a lot of today, I think that would be a big mistake. And to anyone who says competitive eating is not a sport, well, look, I'm going to have to search this up. I didn't even plan on doing this, but I'm going to anyway. I'm going to search up my show notes from the other day because I haven't pulled them out and I'm very disappointed in myself. I'll have to find them. But look, Joey Chestnut, doing what he does, he has to train hard for this. And it's something that is a competition. And if you train for something as much as he trains for competitive eating and you don't call it a sport, I think that's a big mistake. Now, I can understand where Peter King's coming from and calling it and saying that ESPN shouldn't air it just because it's gluttonous and vomitous and grotesque. But I also think that calling it a sin is just going itsy bitsy a little too far. Because in the end, it's just eating. And Peter King, I'm sure, like everyone else in the entire planet, loves to eat when they get the opportunity. And Joey Chestnut just so happened to found a skill, a God-given gift. and then he goes and chomps 75 hot dogs in 10 minutes. I don't think there's anything there that's really that you can... I don't think there's anything there where you can not be impressed by that. That's it. And I pulled it up, but on Thursday, I did my top 10 Joey Chestnut world records. And try and tell me whether this is gross. 141 boiled eggs in 8 minutes. It's kind of gross. 182 wings in 30 minutes. 12.8 pounds of deep fried asparagus in 10 minutes. 15 bowls of gumbo, and those bowls are worth almost 2 liters. These records here that I don't want to list all my top 10, but the fact that he has all of these, and these are just 10, that's just a couple of them. There's 46 different ones in total, so 36 others that I haven't listed here. But you could try and think of any food, and he's probably won a competition in it. I tried bringing it up to Jolo and Dibs on Thursday, but apparently they came up with a couple with gushers and soup. I don't think there's been any souping in competitions lately, and you can guess who came up with soup as the one that they'd be able to win in. But I just think that raining on this guy's joy and what he does, I think that it's pretty wrong. I don't know. It's a type of thing that he's worked his entire life for, literally. I mean, he's been doing this thing since 2006, and he's only 36 years old. But to really just poo-poo on that entire sport, I'm going to call it a sport, I think that's kind of wrong. All right. Just wanted to get my 2 cents in there on Formula One and the hot dog eating championship as that happened over the weekend. So baseball. They have a few players opting out. The NHL looks like it could be returning. The NBA, they got their plan at the end of July. But could there be a second bubble with the NBA? Jackie McMullen had the reporting for ESPN. We'll get to all that next. Stephen Langford in on the pregame show, 95.7 The Game.
Now back to the pregame show on 95.7 The Game. Here's Stephen Langford.
Good morning, good morning. Stephen Langford in, as the big voice guy said, it is 5:18 in the morning. Maybe that should be my new shtick. Just setting up the time for the morning and letting you know the time, even though you have all sorts of access to the time. I'm going to let you know anyway. 5:18 in the morning here in the Bay Area. At 95.7 The Game. So this week, we are starting out our Bay Area's top 10 athlete list. Top 10 greatest Bay Area athletes of all time. And today we're going to be starting off with Joe Fortenbaugh. That's going to be coming up at 8 o'clock. And each show is going to have a designated time slot. So each show is going to do one host per show, Monday through Friday. And then eventually we'll get down to it. And, of course, we're taking your submissions at 957thegame.radio.com. So you can go there, front page, click on the link, then enter your top 10 list. And then we're going to compile those lists. And then we're going to see who you dub to be the greatest Bay Area athlete of all time. So it's going to be a lot of fun for the next couple of weeks. And it gives us something to, you know, kind of go off of for the next couple of weeks until we finally get sports back. We're going to be getting the NBA. We're going to be getting baseball, which I'll get to in a second. It looks like we're getting NHL. It appears that the NHLPA and the NHL have come to an agreement on protocols and whatnot. So really they're just, it's a wait and see situation. They want to get started with training camp 1 week from today. So starting next Monday, and hopefully their season can begin at the beginning or at the end of the month. So it's going to be craziness. You know, I was thinking about this yesterday. I was watching Formula One, as I mentioned in the first segment, and I remember thinking, like, why didn't I watch this before? Why haven't I taken the time to watch this? It's because every weekend there's some sort of game going on that I have to pay attention to that isn't Formula One, something that I might have to talk about in the next morning or suggest to talk about in the next morning. I'd like to be informed. And as I'm watching Formula One yesterday, my first race that I've ever watched in full, very entertaining. Highly recommend you watch Drive to Survive on Netflix if you want to get down on it. But I remember thinking as the race was going on, and I know you're probably like, wow, it must have been a fun race if he started thinking stuff in the middle of it. But what I started thinking was, damn, there aren't any other sports going on right now. And when they do come back, when I'm chilling on a Sunday afternoon, I'm going to have to try and start paying attention to every single game going on possible. And I'm very interested to see what happens as we go on during the season, because in this first week of Formula One, everything went by swimmingly. Everything went by according to plan. Each team had their mask. The drivers are very covered up, but they had to do the interviews from 6 feet apart. The podium was a little awkward because I didn't think they understood really what to do. You know, I don't think they'd been given the proper training on how to celebrate on a podium when you're in the middle of a pandemic, but they managed to do it anyway with the champagne and the trophy. They just seemed to looked a little confused out there. Valtteri Bottas and Lando Norris coming in third, and then Charles Leclerc coming in second from Ferrari. All those guys, relatively young, but they didn't seem to know what to do. Other than that, went by smooth. And I'm wondering how soon into the season, into baseball, where players start complaining, this isn't good enough, tired of the I want out, this isn't cool, I can't play under these health and safety protocols, it's way too restricting for what I enjoy most about baseball. I mean, Brandon Belt, we had a bunch of interviews with the Giants over the weekend, and Brandon Belt talked about turkey tapping. And I'll pull up the quote here, but I wasn't even planning on getting into this. I was more planning on talking about what Buster Posey was saying. But Brandon Belt essentially said, and I'm paraphrasing here, I need to pull up the quote because it was posted all along Twitter. But essentially he said, you know, I don't know how I'm going to survive with all this stuff going on. I think I could follow the rules pretty good. You know, I'm not going to talk to these guys at first base, which is probably a good thing. I probably shouldn't be doing that anyway. That's fine. But he said, he's like, is there a loophole for turkey tapping? If you don't know what turkey tapping is, look it up. I'm not going to explain it to you here. But he basically said, I don't think there's any rules against turkey tapping. I don't know if that's a way to transmit it. And it was more of a joke, obviously. He said it in a laughing manner. But I almost wanted to come up with my top 10 list of turkey tappers in sports. Athletes who are most likely to give you a little turkey tap in the dugout or on the sideline. But that's neither here nor there. I just really got sidetracked. But I did want to mention, though, when it comes to baseball, I don't know what they're going to do as far as just keeping the players happy while simultaneously keeping the fans entertained. You're getting players continuously dropping out. David Price, the big pitcher, he's one that's not playing in this season. He's a little older, and he just doesn't want to risk anything, so he's opted out. Mike Trout has shown that he's feeling really questionable about playing, considering what's going on with his family life right now. Buster Posey, he's showing up, but he also doesn't know whether he wants to stay or opt out of the 2020 season. There's a bunch of this stuff that's going down. Sean Doolittle also showing some apprehension going into the season. So I just wonder, when we get into it and actually start playing, how much are these players going to like it? And I feel like, you know, in Formula One, they could race without fans and it was fine. You could tell they missed them, but really the fans aren't that big a part of the race. They're a big part of the celebration. But when you're on the track, you're just on the track. So having no fans around, it's kind of a normal thing anyway when you're racing around it until you get to the start-finish line. But in baseball, I feel like fans are just such a big part that players would be on the field wondering why we're here if we can't even get full pay. We don't agree with the owners and what they're saying. We've been bickering back and forth only to have this, where you can't even spit or chew gum or chew sunflower seeds, whatever the hell the rules are. So I just wonder. And one thing about having the fans, too, and trying to make it more fun for the fans this year is I'm hearing a lot of mic'd up talk, you know, and them being scared. This is the same that goes for the NBA, too. But them being nervous that players are going to be swearing and all that. Aren't we past the point of really caring about that? I hate to do this because, you know, I'm only in my mid to late 20s, so I'm not an old head by any stretch. But even back when I was still, you know, getting older, when I was 8, 9 years old, didn't have much access to swearing unless you were listening to a parental advisory CD, right? You didn't get much access to swearing unless your parents let you watch the R-rated movies or they let you listen to the music with parental advisory on it. Parental, whatever, parental. But I just feel like the access that the younger generation now has to everything among TikTok, among Twitter, among Instagram, swearing is very prevalent in that. And I know we want to keep it sacred and we want to, you know, have these guys be role models for kids, but I feel like it's just so common now. And we're not going to swear on air because the FCC still rules against it. But I feel like swearing is just so common that in sports, if that's going to be a determining factor into whether you should allow microphones on the players or not, I think that that's just a mistake. I think that that's taking away from what could be a really cool part of the game. And I think it's something that, I think it could be a learning sort of deal. You know, these guys make mistakes sometimes. They might let up a F word every now and again when they get frustrated. But it's just, I feel like there's so much access to cursing and swearing for the younger generation that saying that the players, well, if they swear, then that'd be a bad influence on the youth. Okay, fine. But trust me, that youth can find the swearing elsewhere because that's nothing. That's what TikTok is. That's what TikTok is. That's what everything on the internet involves it. Music, too. Everything. So anyway, that whole argument to me, I don't really understand that one. But when it comes to to MLB returning, though, and every player thinking, you know, every player having a different mindset, I think that's where I've found that this is the toughest, has been the toughest thing to swallow when it comes to baseball, is that these players, the owners, they haven't agreed upon anything. They haven't had the same mindset when talking about any of this. They haven't gone into it thinking, oh, we're here for one common goal. They both have a bunch of different goals. And now every player is being asked, and, you know, they're letting them do their own thing. But it just feels like some of these players don't even want to get in there. Some of these coaches definitely don't want to. Some feel that they're high or at high risk. And then the NFL is just strolling along as if nothing's really happening. And I'll get to these health and safety protocols that they set up on the other side. But it just feels a little tone deaf right now to be coming out with any sort of this stuff when it seems that we got cases and cases spiking each and every way. Okay. So coming up next, I'll get to the NFL health and safety map that they put out there on social media. I call it a map because that's what it really looks like. But I'll get to that next and get to the details on that. But at 5:50 or 5:45, depending on really how much time we got, I want to play or at least list off my not top 10. Now, we're doing a top 10 on the station all week. Top 10 greatest Bay Area athletes of all time. And each host is going to be giving their own top 10 within an allotted time slot, one per day, each day for the week. And I figured I'm going to do a not top 10 because I'm doing a show every day and I don't have two other hosts who I can bounce stuff off of who are going to be giving me their list in the next couple of days. So I felt that I wanted to start doing a not top 10 at 5:50. And today, not top 10 Bay Area contracts all time. So basically, going to be doing my top 10 worst Bay Area contracts of all time. And in the future, going to be a not top 10 draft picks, not top 10 trades, not top 10 coaching hires. There's going to be a bunch of different stuff. But today, not top 10 contracts in Bay Area history. And please feel free, 888-957-9570 on the Chill Not a Body text line, or of course you can call in as well. But your worst contracts in Bay Area history, which ones do you feel were the worst to ever be signed in the Bay Area? We'll get to all that next. Stephen Langford in on the pregame show, 95.7 The Game.
Now back to the pregame show on 95.7 The Game. Here's Stephen Langford.
From the 916 on the Chill Not a Body text line at 888-957-9570. From the 916, Jamarcus Russell. You're wondering why someone is texting that in as you're just getting to your car this morning on the way to work. Happy end of July 4th weekend, as most of us had a longer one. We were off on Friday. But this week with the station, we are doing our top 10 greatest Bay Area athletes of all time. And if you want to submit your list, because I love lists. I don't know about you, but when in sports, if you, not even just in sports, in anything in life, if you give me a link online that says here are the top 10, whatever, I draw the line at top 100, I think, because after 100, you're just like, okay, what are we doing here? But I love lists. So if you post a link with a list online, you know, top 10 greatest moments in Friends history, I don't know why I'm bringing that up. I think it's because that was on watchmojo.com earlier. And if you've ever been sucked down the rabbit hole on YouTube of Watch Mojo, you know what I'm talking about. They give these top 10 lists every single day. I'm a big fan of lists. So we're giving our top 10 greatest Bay Area athletes of all time here at 95.7 The Game. And each host is going to be doing one at a different time slot in each day, Monday through Friday. And then next week, we're going to be compiling all of your lists that you can turn in at 957thegame.radio.com. And we're going to be compiling that. And then essentially, by the end of this, we are going to have the definitive top 10 greatest Bay Area athletes of all time. So the hosts are going to give theirs, and with your help, we're going to come up with that definitive list, the one that's going to go down in history. Put it in the record books. You know, hang it in the whatever art museum out here is famous. I don't know. Hey, I was going to say hang it in the Smithsonian, whatever that is, a history museum, whatever. Stumbling over everything this morning. It's been a long July 4th weekend. But I do want to get to my not top 10 a little later on. And that's why this person said Jamarcus Russell here from the 916 on the Chilton Auto Body text line. I'm going to be giving my not top 10 every day this week. Starting today, going to be giving away my not top 10 contracts in Bay Area history. So I'd love it if you could text in on the Chilton Auto Body text line. And from the 916, when we got Jamarcus Russell, and from the 510, worst contract has to be the Raiders when they did sign Randy Moss. So I wanted to kind of put some parameters around this thing. I wanted to go more free agents and contract extensions. There's only one rookie contract that I had to put in the top 10 because it's just the most ridiculous rookie contract that I've ever heard. But some honorable mentions will be going to Jamarcus and Alex Smith as well, because those guys got some pretty lucrative rookie deals and they didn't do anything with it. Obviously, Jamarcus Russell, those stories that you hear about him just going into the meeting room and flinging money everywhere. But I'll have a top 10 list, and number one and number two, I'll give you a hint, since I'll assume that these two are Raider fans here. But I'll give you a hint. My top two are from the Raiders, and they are not Randy Moss or Jamarcus Russell. And I think you should know where I'm going, because not only do they go down as the worst contracts in Bay Area history to me, in Oakland Raider history to me, but in football history. So number one and number two are going to be that. So feel free to get them in. Chilton Auto Body text line 888-957-9570 if you want to give me your top 10 worst contracts of all time. And from the 209, we're getting Derek Barton already. I didn't have Derek Barton on my list. I only had only had a couple of A's to go off of on this one, because they don't, you know, they don't take the risks with the big contracts, and that's pretty well known. But there is one that they took a risk on, and it just didn't work out for them in their time. Real quick, wanted to go through the NFL's health and safety protocols that they came out with. Because Tom Pelissero of the NFL Network had this. This is basically what they're going to do should a player be tested positive for COVID-19. So let's go through it. If you have close contact exposure, this is for the NFL. If you have close contact exposure to symptomatic or COVID-19 positive individual, you're going to have a virus test as soon as possible. And if the test is negative and the close contact remains asymptomatic, close contact may return to club facilities subject to increased symptom monitoring and regular testing thereafter. And if the virus test is positive and the individual has no symptoms, there's no return unless and until 10 days have passed since the initial positive test, or 5 days have passed since the initial positive test, and two negative PCR virus tests separated by 24 hours, and a return approved by the club physician after consultation with the ICS. And then if the individual gets tested positive and they're symptomatic, there's no return unless and until at least 10 days have passed since the first COVID symptoms appeared, at least 72 hours have passed and symptoms have occurred. The return is approved by the club physician after consultation with ICS and NFL chief medical officer, and local regulations and requirements are satisfied. So what I really drew from this is the NFL is already coming up with ways in which they're going to, you know, in the health and safety guidelines that the players are going to have to follow if every guy's tested and some come back positive. I think it's just so early. And I'm reading this and, you know, there's just way too much uncertainty for me to even think about getting excited for an NFL season. You know, the past couple of weeks, it's been fun talking about Antonio Brown, whether he should go to the 49ers, because I think that's a very polarizing topic and one that gets the discussion going. But I also, I always think in the back of my mind when we're talking about this stuff is, well, the season might not happen, so in the end, this might not matter. That's all I could think about when watching the draft. And it was very pessimistic of me. I don't think you should have been in the same mindset that I was in at the time. But when I was watching the draft and everyone was going crazy for it, so excited we have sports back. Oh, thank God there's something that we can go off of. Yes, something. Finally, I get to watch a draft pick. We were so excited for it. And the entire time, you know, I was interested in what was happening, but in the midst of all of it, I couldn't help but think, I don't know if the NFL is going to play this year. I don't know if the NFL is going to play this year. And this is from Adam Schefter earlier this morning. Philip Rivers is already asking questions. I don't know if he's going to have to worry about this, but he already started asking questions. And this was for the general NFL population, I think. He just said, if a player gets tested positive before the Super Bowl, what are you going to do? Just going to sit him out and not let him play in the biggest game of his life? You know, if a player in that Orlando bubble gets tested positive, and then they're right close to the end, they're close to the finals, and they're at the beginning of the series, then a player gets tested positive, a pivotal player gets tested positive, what are they going to do? I think that these are questions they are thinking about, but essentially don't have the answer to. And that's where that uncertainty within baseball kind of makes me nervous. That's where that uncertainty in basketball makes me nervous. The uncertainty in football makes me nervous because I want sports to come back. I really do. But I also want us to get back to sports in a comfortable and safe environment to where nobody's asking any more questions. To where we're not having fans sign a waiver if they want to come into the stadium. To the point where the NBA doesn't feel like it needs to make a statement that they won't be playing with any fans in 2020 and 2021 the following season. Like, that's all I really want from sports right now. And I think it's going to have to be a situation where it gets going and whatever happens, happens. But that's just really where I'm at when it comes to everything going on around sports. And speaking of the NBA, Jackie McMullen reported this for ESPN, and I'll get to my not top 10. Please feel free to get them in on the Chilton Auto Body text line at 888-957-9570. Please feel free to get your top 10 or not top 10 contracts in Bay Area history. Since the station is doing their top 10 greatest Bay Area athletes of all time, I figured I'd do some sort of variation of top 10s, and I have an entire week. So today, the not top 10 contracts in Bay Area history. So please feel free to get them in from the 510. We're already getting Barry Zito from the 209. We got Derek Barton from the 510. We got Randy Moss from the 916. We got Jamarcus Russell. So we're getting plenty of them here early in the morning on the Chillin' Auto Body text line. So feel free to get them in. But this is from Jackie McMullen on ESPN. The NBA is in deep discussions on a second bubble in Chicago for the 8 teams that were not invited to play in Florida, enabling them to participate in a mini training camp and subsequent games against other clubs with a target date of September, sources told ESPN on Thursday. Now, I understand why they would want to do this for money situations. I understand that they want to get TV ratings anywhere that they can get it. And maybe that's just a super simplistic view. But when Dwayne Casey from the Pistons, when he was asked about it, and he was told that the only reason that he gave, or the primary reason that he gave, would be so for the camaraderie, so the young guys don't go from March 11th all the way to, you know, whatever it would be, December, so they don't go all that way without having any competitive basketball. And, you know, as a Warrior fan, immediately I thought to myself, well, look, these guys anyway, Steph, Clay, Draymond, like, they're not the type that are going to have be at a disadvantage just because they've been on a break for so long. If anything, the Warriors are at an advantage for not being on the court for a while. And you read on, and then you eventually realize, oh, well, they don't exactly have to participate in said event. They don't have to go to that 18 bubble. So I guess my main thing is, I don't know why they have to have this. For monetary reasons, for those reasons that I mentioned, TV ratings reasons, all that stuff. I get that, but I don't think anyone's going to be making it appointment television to watch the bottom eight teams. I am all for having these guys compete, though. I'm all for having these guys compete separately, create their own little, you know, their own little schedule and maybe do it that way, but it doesn't need to be a big eight-team bubble sort of situation. It could be a little like a kind of like a mini summer league, I guess, but it's just for the Warriors, it seems like they're the only team in that bottom eight who wouldn't really benefit from this. Rather, it would just be a kind of a hindrance in their training. And if the players want it, then they can go ahead. And I think the and Bob Myers, it's mentioned in the article here as I go down and try and scroll through it. Oh, man, I'm trying to find it. Here we go. Okay. Our position is, this is from Bob Myers of the Warriors. Sorry about that. Our position is, let us know what's possible. Until we really know, it's hard to say. If we can get the majority of our players to go, and if it's beneficial, then we'll do that. If we can't, we'll take what we can get. This whole thing is about balancing health and safety. From a team standpoint, what solutions check as many boxes as it can? One of the things is you try not to judge. Everybody is right in a certain sense. Whether we pursue the opportunity to get our young players some work in some safe environment locally or in a second bubble, we're in support of the pursuit. Now, whether we get there or not is really a health and safety thing. I do think it would be very beneficial, though, for that draft pick if the Warriors tend to go with it. If the Warriors keep that top five draft pick that they're going to get and they decide that they don't want to trade it away, and they need to work their younger players with this new draft pick who's supposed to make a big difference in the on the team in the coming years, I think that'd be very beneficial. But other than that, I don't know. Just the eight-team bubble, it doesn't really interest me too much. All right. So anyway, as I mentioned earlier in the program, and as we're getting now from the 925, Billy Butler was the most frustrating contract I've seen in a very long time. I wanted to give my not top 10. So essentially what I'm doing is going to give, you know, how the Sports Center does their not top 10 plays on Fridays, where they just show bloopers, funny things that happen in or around sports. Well, since we're doing a top 10, every show is going to be doing this on 95.7 The Game, top 10 greatest Bay Area athletes, and get your submissions in if you want to get in your list at 957thegame.radio.com. But I wanted to give my not top 10 because, you know, I asked the boss. I said, hey, can I do a not top? Can I do a top 10 list? Can I, you know, get involved in this? And, you know, he thought about it. And he's just like, yeah, go ahead. You know, and you know, it was a little questionable, but I said, all right, I might go along with it. And I did a little more thinking. And I was wondering about the show and what I was going to do for my top 10, how I'm going to get this out there, how am I going to disperse it? And then I realized, you know what? We're going to be getting a lot of top 10 lists in the coming week, and they're going to be great. And I'm really looking forward to what everyone has to say, because I think there are a few key players that you just can't leave out. But I was thinking, what's something that I could do differently? So I wanted to give my not top 10, and we're going to be doing this every day at 5:50. Essentially, what we're doing is doing the opposite of a top 10, an anti-top 10, if you will. So I'm doing my not top 10 contracts today, and tomorrow at 5:50, going to be doing my not top 10 Bay Area trades. But here we go. Here's the list, and from the 707 on the Chilled Not a Body text line, feel free to get your worst contracts in Bay Area history into the text line. We got from the 707, Jeff Smajdja. So didn't exactly spell it right, but he was supposed to say Jeff Samardzija, I'm assuming. Give me some music, Steven. Yeah, I just talked in third person. What are you going to do about it? What are you going to do about it? Oh my gosh, I almost started on my number one. I was about to go down the list 1 through 10, but I'm going to go 10 through 1 here. All right. Number 10 on my not top 10 Bay Area contracts list. Feel free, get them in. 888-957-9570. I'm going to go with one that I don't know if many 49er fans will necessarily agree with or even remember. But, and I like this guy a lot, so it stinks having to mention this. But Torrey Smith signing with the 49ers for 5 years, $40 million. That would go as my number 10. You signed him in 2015. He only had 7 touchdowns in total, along with 53 receptions. 53 receptions and 7 touchdowns in 2 seasons. You know, call me whatever you want for it, but that's not a very good contract to me. And the fact that he retired a couple of seasons after just going one season with the Eagles and then, you know, whatever that season was with the Panthers, a cup of coffee, I have to put that there at my number 10 of my not top 10 Bay Area contracts list. So number 10 is Torrey Smith. Number 9 on my not top 10 Bay Area contracts of all time, Barry Zito. Barry Zito, 7 years, $126 million on this list. Now, I know what you're thinking. Why are you not putting Barry Zito higher? That list is crazy. Well, in the end, he did help the Giants on their way to some World Series titles. Maybe not so much in the first year, but in that second even year, in 2012, Barry Zito, what was it, game 5? I think against the Reds, where he came in and pitched a gem. I can't put him there at the top of the list, but I do have to put him on here at some point. I think number 9 is an appropriate place for Barry Zito. 7 years, $126 million. Feel free, 888-957-9570, to get your not top 10 Bay Area contract all time in here. Number 8 on my list, and this one was a little weird, because this was a little earlier, and this was for the 49ers as well. I was going back and forth between this and Torrey Smith, but Antonio Bryant, 4 years, $14 million. Not doing much. $14 million isn't a ton of money, but at the time, when you're locking a guy up for 4 years, you expect him to make some sort of impact, and Antonio Bryant didn't do that. If I'm not mistaken, he had some off-the-field issues as well. So number 8, 4 years, $14 million, Antonio Bryant. I just remember that thinking, he didn't do anything. He didn't really do anything. That's number 8 on my not top 10 list. Torrey Smith at number 10, Barry Zito at number 9, and Antonio Bryant at number 8 on my not top 10 Bay Area contracts all time. From the 925 on the Chilton Auto Body text line, Billy Butler was the most frustrating contract I've seen in a very long time, and that leads me to number 7. Billy Butler, 3 years, $30 million. In a time when it didn't seem like you were trying to pay players, and then you go and pay a Billy Butler, great name, Country Breakfast, great nickname, but overall, 3 years, $30 million, not worth it for Billy Butler. Number 6 on my list, we go over to Oracle Park. Mark Melancon for the Giants, 4 years and $62 million. 2 seasons before that, most saves in baseball combined in those 2 seasons. The most saves out of anybody. Give him a 4-year, $62 million deal. Ends up getting hurt. Didn't even become the closer. Got traded away. I don't know how they did that, but they managed to trade away that contract. So Mark Melancon is number 6 on my list. Number 5, cornerback Nate Clements for the San Francisco 49ers. 8 years, $80 million for Nate Clements. He had a good year, maybe 2, but signing that guy 8 years, $10 million per year, I think that's a pretty famous contract that goes around in the NFL as one of the worst contracts in history and in football. But in Bay Area, I think putting that there, I think that's a pretty safe bet. From the 415, we're getting Andres Beatriz. From the 707, Antonio Brown. Number 4 on my list of the not top 10 Bay Area contracts in history, Aaron Rowand. 5 years, $60 million. That was 3.9 times the league average. He was taking up about 12% of the payroll at the time, and he wasn't even their best player and didn't even participate really in the playoffs. So Aaron Rowan, 5 years, $60 million. That's number four on my not top 10 contracts. Number three. Now, I didn't want to put rookies on this list, but I had to put this rookie contract on there. The Golden State Warriors trying to sign Chris Webber to a 15-year, $74 million deal from his rookie season. Just signing any rookie to 15 years, expecting him to do something. That's just way too much. That makes it to number three on my list. I wanted to leave out a majority of the rookie contracts. Number two, and this is from the 510 on the Chilled Autobody text line as well, D'Angelo Hall. 7 years, $70 million, $24.5 million guaranteed. Didn't do anything. Was expected to be a lockdown corner. And instead, he's just another name on the list of failed players on the Raiders because they haven't had a good defense in the last 20 years. It's really been that long. And it sucks to say because he had one of the best corners in Nnamdi Asamoah. Felt like you're getting a good safety with Michael Huff in the first round. It's been a mess in the secondary for the Raiders for as long as I can remember, and in the front seven for as long as I can remember as well. But number one, this is one, Raider fans, I don't know if you've remembered, but number one on my not top 10 Bay Area contracts in history, Javon Walker, 6 years, $55 million. What are we doing here? The picture I saw yesterday when I was looking up Javon Walker was him celebrating with Chaz Schillens. the disgusted producer, John Curley's face, producer for Joe Lo and Dibs. Oh, my goodness. Unbelievable. All right, that was my not top 10 Bay Area contracts of all time. Tomorrow, going to be doing another not top 10 at 5:50. But our top 10 greatest Bay Area athletes list start today with Joe coming up at 8 o'clock. They're going to be joined by Brian Mitchell at 7 o'clock, Eric Davis at 8:30, and Alex Pavlovich at 9 o'clock. Thanks for tuning in, everyone. I'll be back tomorrow at 5 a.m. on 95.7 again.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.